Dear God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to open your word and to hear what your word has to say. And God, I ask you please to go ahead of me and to soften hearts to the message that to some today might be offensive. To some it might be life-changing, God. And I pray by your power and by your spirit now, God, those whose minds are set in one place, God, may you set them where you want them to be. Father of life, forgive us for thinking that we're smarter than you. Please teach us what we need to know. We ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you were here last week, we talked about it was more of the introduction to the book of Romans. I told you that in the coming weeks we'd be talking about very sensitive issues. Today we're going to talk about an extremely sensitive issue because it has a lot to do with heaven, hell, homosexuality, and all kinds of other sin. And I know that everybody's ears in this day and age perk up. Wait a second. Don't say anything bad about homosexual. You know, I got a brother that's gay. You know, or I got a sister that's tranny, and you can't. It's okay. It's all right. Listen, I'm not going to teach you anything today that's not written in the Bible. So if you have a problem with anything I say, please come and talk to me. If you have a problem with anything God says, talk to him. I want to tell you a story before we get to the scriptures. When I was in my teens, we had a few miles away on Queens Boulevard, in Ozone Park. I grew up in Howard Beach. There was a gym. It was a boys' club. And anybody who wanted to be a boxer would go to the boys' club. And as a teenager, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a boxer. I wanted to be like Joe Frazier. Joe Frazier was like my uncle. Uncle Joe. That's Uncle Joe. Joe Frazier. So I started going to the boys' club and I started boxing. And that, my father was a boxing coach in the Army. My father was also a fighter. He taught me everything I needed to know about boxing. And I became a coach later on after I got tired of getting punched in the face. And then when my son turned three, I got him a heavy bag and I made him start punching the heavy bag. And he's 3 years old. He's like, boom, 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 boom. And then when he was five, I took him to this gym that was up the block from our house. And there was a guy there. He was an Olympic gold medalist named Howard Davis. And he was the boxing coach. And when my son was 5 years old, he was just turning six, I was like, listen, son. That's Howard Davis. I mean, that dude was, when I was growing up, Howard Davis was the shiz whizzle. Let me tell you something. Howard Davis, man, you know, there are more world champions than there are Olympic gold medalists. When you're an Olympic gold medalist, that's no joke. You can, but in the same gym, there were these guys doing this thing called jiu-jitsu. And they were rolling on the floor with each other, and they were wearing bathrobes, like, and I remember watching them, and my son, he's about six and a half, he'd been boxing for about a year, and he goes, Daddy, I want to go see what they're doing over there. And I look over there, and I'm like, I don't think we should go over there. How come? I don't know what they're doing, but I don't like it. Oh, man, sweating all over you and all that stuff, I don't know about all that. Why do I tell you that story now that I've been doing jiu-jitsu for the last 15 years, 13 years? The judgment that we possess for other things that we don't understand could sometimes cause us to look down our nose. Now, it's a weak illustration, but you're going to see how this illustration does come into play into what I'm talking about for a number of reasons. So put that little story somewhere in your file cabinet. I'll come back to it. Verse 18, chapter 1, the book of Romans. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Please, let me explain to you what he's saying there. There is a wrath of God. There is a judgment of God. And it has been revealed to those who know God. If you know God, you understand that there is a judgment. If you don't know God, then you don't understand what the judgment of God is. If you have no understanding of anything about God, and you are what the Bible calls a natural man, void of the Spirit, to you, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That very might well be your saying. Continuing, extremely important to keep these things, because unless you catch this whole section we're going to read as a whole, you're going to miss it. Watch. Because, verse 19 again, what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Please, again, I heard this really cool thing. A guy said one time, I don't know what's worse, to believe in God or not to believe in God. And the answer was, why is that? Well, right now, the earth is spinning at 60,000 miles an hour around the sun. And if you believe in God, then everything's being held together. But you might be in trouble. If you don't believe in God, who's in control? Because we're going 60,000 miles an hour around a burning ball. Your dog ever eat grass? How does he know to do that? My dog eats grass and then hurls up his guts. And he does it every day. And at first I thought, my dog's name is The Bull. We call him The Bull because I got him at 5 weeks old. He's a little black boxer. Not a little anymore. He runs into everything with his head. He doesn't realize how much time there is between him and whatever it is that he's running toward. Thus his name became The Bull. And we always talk about the bull. I say, Bull, stop eating the grass. Blah, up it goes. Every day, Bull. How does he know to eat grass to clean out his stomach? How does he know that that grass is going to be some kind of medicinal value? How does these bugs live in the grass, and then some herbivore eats the grass, and then some carnivore eats the herbivore, and then so forth and so on. This is the picture here. Everything is made manifest. Everything is evident to anybody who asks. We're going to look next week at why those who have no knowledge of God will be held accountable for what knowledge they do have. Because here, I'm going to break down some things today, and I want you to understand, if you leave in the middle of today's service, you'll think I'm a heretic. You'll think I'm teaching something absolutely insane, but I'm not. I'm teaching what the Bible says. Unfortunately, it's not what people like. So many people are boxers, and they don't like jiu-jitsu because they don't understand it. So when we see churches that hold up signs that say, God hates fags, God is judging the United States because of the homosexual. Listen, I think homosexuality is really weird. Do you know why? Because I'm a boxer. And it's kind of weird to have somebody sweaty laying all over you. But you know what? Drew, would you please put that up now? Because it happens to be something I don't like, I'm often asked the question as a pastor, you believe in gay marriage? I believe in gay marriage. Well, like as in, like me? No, I don't marry men. I have a wife. It's a woman. No, I mean, where's your position as a pastor on this gay marriage thing? And I'm often asked by what I like to consider, they call the Gestapo, these gay men who think it's their job that every straight man has got to believe what he believes. Because you're taught that every gay person is just the nicest guy in the world, and they all talk like this, and they're just sweethearts, and you just leave them alone and they'll be fine. No, that's not the case at all. And you know what they're taught? They're taught that every white guy hates them faggots, man. I hate them, man. Them just nasty old faggots. And neither is the truth, obviously. I don't care what you sleep with at night. That is your business. However, if you want to talk about what the Bible says about gay marriage, the Bible says this. He was made for she, and she was made for he. And as we just said, nature reveals it. The homosexual lifestyle as a whole has an end, and its end is you can't recreate yourself. Who's going to take care of you when you grow old if you ain't got no kids or no grandkids? It's a contradiction of nature itself. However, please understand, you here who are born again, you here who call yourself Christian, know this. What we're going to read today has more to say about how we respond to those who are in a lifestyle sin. I wrote to you in my epistle, the same writer of Romans writes, not to keep company with sexually immoral people, yet I certainly didn't mean the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or with the extortioners, the idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. He's saying, what are you doing judging the world? God will judge the world. Keep the church pure. In the church, no, you will never see me marry two men or two women here. You will never see me marry a man to a goat or a sheep, a woman to her pet snake or lizard. Can't do it. I am a pastor. I marry a man and a woman if I deem in my heart that they are both sincere about following the Lord in this marriage. I will no sooner marry two men than I will marry a man and a woman when one of them does not believe in the Lord. I can't do that. That's not my job as a pastor. And woe to the pastor who thinks that's okay. But woe to the Christian who doesn't understand this. Go back one again. Your job is to love the people in the world, even if they do jujitsu. Ew! Now, I told you it was a weak illustration. The fact that I do jiu-jitsu now has nothing to do with what I'm talking about whatsoever. Nothing. Just trying to make a weak illustration. Again, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. And I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world. How can you bring them to Christ unless you love them? You think anybody that's holding up a sign that says God hates fags led anybody to the Lord ever? They're just attention seekers. They're pigs themselves. Listen, what did my beautiful little daughter just recite? For God so loved the world. That means he loves the homosexuals, the extortioners, and the idolaters. He loved them, that he gave his only son, that any of them who believe in him should not perish, but they should have eternal life. Continuing, but now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. Now this unfortunately, might be like more earth-shattering than anything you could imagine. Wait a second. If somebody considers himself a believer, go ahead, back up. And he's a drunkard or an extortioner, a reviler, he's sexually immoral, a covetous, you shouldn't hang with him? I don't know, man, that's a little judgmental. Oh, we're judgmental now. Right, and that's why the church now is in the ineffective, disgusting shape it's in, as opposed to the world who sometimes looks upon the church with judgment eyes. How did we get so far? Well, what does God continue to say? Do you have the next verse up? Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Stop right there. Do you understand? And here's the whole point. I love this verse. This is like one of my favorite verses in the Bible. You know who's not going to get into heaven? Drunkards, perverts, sodomites, queers. You name the list, right? There's the list. But look at verse 11. And such were some of you. Whew. Thank God. I'm okay. Because I was about all those things. Almost all of them. I don't do jujitsu. But all that other stuff, that's me. And that's what I was. But I was washed. But I was sanctified. But I was justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Amen. How did we get this thing so backed up that now the church is going to sit and look and judge the world? Did they miss these verses or something like that? I understand. Now, on one side of the church, come as you are, stay as you are, be who you are. No, you can't do jujitsu and stay in the church, I'm sorry. Why not? Who are you to judge? Listen, if you want to be a believer, be baptized. What would you say if gay people came to your church? Here's what I'd say. Read the Bible, pray, stay in church, and worship God, and let Him do the changing work. But here's also what I'm going to say to you, gay person in here. You can't go to heaven being gay. God's going to transform you. And if you stay gay here on earth, and you love the Lord, you're not going to be gay in heaven. So if you embrace your homosexuality more than you embrace your God, I don't know if you're going to get there. If I told you I visited this person with cancer, and I said, this person in the hospital, dying of cancer, smoking a cigarette in the hospital. And I said, dude, don't you understand that's the very reason you're here? This is the very reason you're dying. I don't care. Listen, you can't keep doing that and think you're going to live. Yeah, well, if God's so powerful, why doesn't He take this away from me? I understand what you're saying. I understand that there's this draw. I understand that, especially for a woman's perspective, you know, because, like, you know how many times my wife has said to me, is there something wrong with you? Do you not hear what I say? And I was like, I ain't trying to hear what you say, but. But you have a woman who gets to talking to a woman, and they fall in love with each other, and they do this whole homosexual woman thing. Let me tell you something, I see more guys come out of a homosexual lifestyle than women, and here's why. Because what homosexuality does to a man is horrible. The physical toll that it takes on his body, the emotional toll that it takes on his spirit. My old man used to say something, God rest his soul, he used to say, son, there ain't nothing worse than an old fag. The most miserable human beings you ever met in your entire life were people who have been in a homosexual lifestyle for 20, 30 years. Their body is broken down, their mind is broken down. But women, when they are loved tenderly by another woman, that emotional love that only another woman can give, that understanding, very, very hard to break that bond. So you go to the hospital and you see them in the hospital and they're smoking their cigarette and they're telling, well, if God should heal me, or why doesn't God take this away from me? What should happen to that person? I don't believe in God. Why would God make me go to hell just for smoking a cigarette? Well, God didn't make you go to hell for smoking a cigarette, but God can't change the laws. Your lungs are not for smoke nor nicotine. Yeah, well, the hell with him if he doesn't. Should that guy go to heaven anyway? Or should a person who says, I'm so sorry, I've wrecked my body, I could have been serving God, but I can't stop smoking cigarettes. Now, which person goes to heaven and which person doesn't? I'm sorry, I don't care what lifestyle you live. If you understand the forgiveness of God, I don't care if you live a homosexual lifestyle till the day you die, whatever you die from. If you understand and are repentant toward God for sin, whatever sin it is, you will go to heaven. But you cannot go to heaven smoking a cigarette. You cannot go to heaven smoking. That's right. Do you understand that? You're going to go there. It's going to be gone. Yep. You're not going to be gay anymore. You're not going to be smoking pot in heaven. You're not going to be smoking cigarettes in heaven. That's it. But if you are so rebellious to look at God and say, yeah, well, if you tell me, now watch, now Ed, if you tell me my beer is a sin, I don't want to be where you are. Okay, well, you get your wish. Very famous interview happened a couple months ago. I know some of you saw it. Maybe it was a year ago. There's a very famous pastor, and they asked him, he's Justin Bieber's pastor. He's from the Hillsong Church. Yeah. And they asked him, is abortion a sin? And he couldn't answer the question straight. He was on The View with those wonderful women. And then I thought about that for a second. I watched him answer. I watched him mumble and stutter in his words. And as an arrogant man, I said to myself, I'd tell him flat out, absolutely, it's a sin. And anybody who does that. Now, all of a sudden, today's Bible study has a little bit of a different meaning to it for me. It's like, what would I say if they asked me to be on a TV show? First of all, I'd say no. But if I was dumb enough to go on a TV show and fall into their trap, what would I say? Is it a sin? And I'd probably really have to think about that. I'd probably have to say, well, it depends whose perspective you're asking me from. Well, what is that supposed to mean? Are you saying that abortion's not a sin? No, all murder's a sin. What I'm saying is, if you don't know any better, and I tell you it's a sin, I ain't going to be found to be judging the world. Maybe I would say, like, yeah, it's a forgivable sin, just like my pride, or just like my lust, or just like my vengeance. I mean, I don't even know how I'd answer that. Why would a fool put himself in that position anyway to go before the world? Like, these people are the world. Well, they consider themselves Christians. Yeah, right. And that's where the line comes in, and that's where the tough time, and this is why today's Bible verses are so important. There is a fine line, because Christianity doesn't look like Christianity anymore. I'm seeing all of these basketball players, football players, MMA fighters claim to be Christians, but every other word out of their mouth that's uttered is foul and filthy. It's accepting. I mean, I love this dude, Steph Curry. I thought, man, I love this guy. He's like a freak of nature. Hitting shots from midcourt, and he calls himself, he points up to the Lord after everything, and then all of a sudden I hear him talk about his philosophies on God, and I'm like, oh my goodness. This is who is exalted in the world. You know what's gone now? Holiness. Gone. Gone. Tim Tebow. He's a man who tried to live his life holy. He was mocked and abused and put down and cut. Why? Because he's the real deal? Because he refused to be a part of your system? Well, if you're going to be a Christian, you got to be a Christian the way, you know, Barack Obama was a Christian. Ugh. But I'm not here to judge the world. But I'm trying to figure out who the world is and who it's not. We live in confusing times, folks. Confusing times. You know what I think is best for me? I'm going to love everybody the best I can and let God sort out the rest. Now, I ain't going to do jujitsu, but I guess I can hang out in the gym with people that do jujitsu and not do jujitsu with them. That was a bad example, too, because that's not to say that I'm going to go in like a gay bar or nothing like that. It's such a weak illustration. Believe me, I tried to come up with a better illustration. I just didn't work. Verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible men and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. What is he talking about? I'll tell you what he's talking about. He's talking about those who knew God but compromised their position. The very people in the world we're talking about today, they know God, they know the righteous judgment of God, they know and understand that, but out of their mouths and out of their words and out of their lives, they deny him. But it's real important, and I beg of you, please, to stay around, because when we go into chapter 2, the first few verses of chapter 2, everything I'm saying is going to make sense, and it's going to bring the whole thing together. Because right now it looks like I'm standing on some position that I promise you is going to be pulled right out from under me with the next few verses. Again, therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Now, please, I know it's a Sunday, but it's like this and like this, and that's how this thing works. This don't work like this. This don't work like this. That's nature. Some of you guys might understand. I might know me. For a living, because I don't like to take money from the church, I breed reptiles. I have these South American lizards called tegus. And I've tried for years to put two girls in one cage, and I never get eggs. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Who knowing the righteous judgment of God, and that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Please give me your attention. Boy, if the chapter actually ended there in God's economy, I would say, homosexual, you got problems. But I don't say that, and here's why. The one thing, this is probably, in my opinion, the worst chapter break in the entire Bible. If you do not know this, the verses were not put in the Bible until the 1500s. And the chapters were put in the 1400s. Those numbers are not the Lord. And this is probably the worst chapter break in the entire Bible, because what the Apostle Paul is writing about, the same apostle, the same guy that wrote that stuff that I just read to you, these two things seem extremely contradictory until you read the next few verses. Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. for you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to the truth against those who practice such things. We know that the judgment of God is good. And if you see somebody doing jujitsu, or you see somebody smoking cigarettes, or you see somebody smoking herb, and you look down on them and judge them, be careful, because what you do might be just as obnoxious to God, but not obnoxious in society. It's real cool to be gay right now. It's real cool to be tranny right now. It's real cool to be smoking herb right now, because you know it's going to be legal soon. But if you say it's okay, or you judge them, do you understand where that line comes now? You can't do, look at the end of verse 32 of Romans 1. Who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So you can't be a Christian and say that's all right, and you can't be a Christian and judge. I don't understand then. How do I do this? I told you, this is a dancing fine line right here. You just got to love folks into the kingdom as best you can, and without judgment, but without approving. Some people want to be so loving. Oh, man, I don't want to be judgmental on people, so you didn't tell them that. Well, I don't want to be judgmental on people, so you told them it was okay? This ain't no joke, guys. Especially now, it's Christmas time. What blows me away, how come there are not more gay people in our church? How come there aren't gay couples coming in and going out, hey, just receiving the word? I want to know why. Who told them that we hate them? Because I never told no gay person I hated them, never in my life. I grew up, listen, guys, my family's from New York. My father lived his whole life in Manhattan. I was always around gay men. It never bothered me none. Who told all these gay people, either these gay people hate God, every single one of them, which I don't believe, or the world has told them that we hate them. And that's important. The very same people who hate us for what we believe are telling other people we hate them for what they believe. Man, that's wickedness they're going to have to deal with. There's a great verse. The Lord Jesus was yelling at the Pharisees one time. He says to them, he said, woe to you, Pharisee. Woe to you. He said, you travel over land and sea to make one proselyte, and when you find him, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourself. You want to hate God? It's crazy that the people that hate God are more evangelical about what they believe than what Christians are. It's so crazy. You see this stuff going on in universities? Raising up the next generation of haters. And you talk to one of them about the Bible, and the knowledge they have is like zero. It's arguments my 11-year-old could dispute. It's amazing. Oh, you know the Bible's full of contradictions. Well, that's the first time I heard that one. Oh, yeah? Well, where did Cain's wife come from, okay? Really? Okay, there's no apples in the Middle East, so how could Adam have bitten an apple? These are what idiot taught you these? Oh yeah, can God make a rock so big that he can't even pick it up? Listen, I don't know who violated your logic, and you thought that your argument was in any way effective, but it's futile and foolish. Because none of the things you say make any sense whatsoever. And you've believed this lie, and it's time to spit it out. Does anybody know what I'm talking about or not? Verse 3, chapter 2. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Now look at verse 4. It's one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Oh, Lord. What is it that leads people to repentance? The goodness of God. That word for goodness can also be translated kindness. What leads people to repentance? Goodness, kindness, the love of God. You can pick up a sign that says, God hates homosexuals, God hates homos. And you can walk up and down Hillsboro all the way to US 1, and if you don't get your butt kicked, I guarantee you ain't going to make one disciple. But you walk a sign that says, I pray for anybody, and you walk up, I guarantee you. Hey, you pray? I guarantee you people will let you pray for them. You take a guitar and you go up to the beach and you start worshiping God. You watch how you have a crowd. Plus, you make some money. It's kind of cool. We did that outside Elena's store. Where's he at? He was playing his guitar with his guitar case, and people were throwing money in the guitar case. I was like, man, I'm going to be this guy's manager. I was like, that's all? Come on, listen to this guy sing. Or you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds eternal life, to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but only obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. Now, I think the chapter should break there, because we're going to go into a whole new thought of the law, and we'll study that next week. But last closing thought. This holiday season, I want you to think about what the birth of Christ means to you. I really do. I mean, what does the birth of this Christ mean? For me, it's forgiveness of sin. It's not my opportunity to ram my religion down people's throats. No, quite the contrary. It's my opportunity to ram the forgiveness of God down people's lives. Freaks people out all the time that I have absolutely nothing against. I've used this before, and my wife hates when I use it, and I'm sorry, baby, but I'm going to. Stop shaking your head. I'm in control. There's a song by the band Jane's Addiction called Whores. I use this probably 100 times, this example, because it's the first understanding I've ever had. And in it, this guy, Perry Farrell, who sang lead for this band, he sings, I love them whores, man, they don't judge. What can you say when you're a whore? That's it. That's the message right there. Who am I to judge anybody else? What, I all of a sudden attain something that I never had before? Did I become so great and so special at some point in time? My Uncle Marvin's here. He's known me before I was born. I'm going to sit up here and preach something to you. Yeah, I remember when you got arrested in high school. Yeah, well, I remember when you got arrested. I remember when you did time in jail. I remember when you did time. He's going to sit there. He can sit there and I remember when you drove your mother crazy. I remember when you did that. I remember when you did that. Where I sit here, let me tell you something. You see this suit? Man, I know that the line is hard to find. I know it is. But we must, as Christians, work toward that line. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And it's the goodness that we give to others that will lead them to repentance. It's okay if you don't like jujitsu. I love jujitsu. Jiu-jitsu. I'm never doing that one again. Close your Bible. Fine line between loving jiu-jitsu and loving jiu-jitsu. Have a blessed Christmas, guys. I love you. Hopefully we'll see you tonight, 7 o'clock, after Glow Service. We'll be praying for you all, praying that the Holy Spirit will fall, praying for your children if you want to bring them out. We're going to pray that the Holy Spirit falls big on us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much that it is the kindness of God that leads us to repentance, God. Forgive us for being judgmental, or forgive us for telling others that it's okay what they do. Forgive us, God, that we treat the church like the world and the world like the church, God. God, they're yours. And you just help us do the best we can to love those into the kingdom of heaven who are not going there now. Help us to keep your church pure and to love the world. God, your word's amazing. It so cuts through the baloney of this world. Thank you, God. All these things we ask and pray only for the furtherance of the kingdom of our God, so more and more people go to heaven every day. In Christ's name, amen.